to Psy.
Spend the day with Psy.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Dear listeners, loving Sairams, greetings and a warm afternoon to all of you out there. You are tuned to Asia stream of Radio Psy Global Harmony, and I am Raghu from Team Radio Psy hosting the segment Service Love in Action. A warm welcome for all of you for today's Thursday Live. It's a bright afternoon here at Prashant Nilayam. It's the season of summer and the temperatures are almost 40 degrees Celsius. It's the peak of summer here at Prashant Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the entire universe. This is a segment, Service Love in Action, and as part of today's segment, I'll be playing for you an audio documentary of featuring the Seva activities by devotees of Bhagawan in New Zealand, in the prisons of New Zealand. Well, talking about prison, I am reminded of how Swami dramatically transformed Kalpagiri's life. Kalpagiri once had committed a foul murder and escaped the police of his area. He ran away silently towards the Himalayas and he donned the ochre robes of a monk and wandered from one Dharmashala to another, trying to pacify his conscience of his sin by chanting the name of God. Like that, he spent 4 years in the Himalayas with other saints hiding from police to escape his punishment. He met many saint and sage, sadhaka and monk, but he always had a doubt in most cases whether they too were not ignorance or wicked packed in pious robes like him. He read many sacred books, discussed the role of bhakti, jnana and karma in releasing man from bondage. He decided within himself that he could now safely venture into the old familiar regions, and so he extended his pilgrimage to Simhachalam, Tirupati, Kanchi, Rameshwaram at the extreme south of India. Hence he returned to Madurai, Srirangam, Chamundi Hills, and reaching Bangalore, heard of Puttaparthi. Then Kalpagiri boarded the Guntakal train, alighted at Penkonda, and a bus brought him to Prashant Nilayam. So like that, Kalpagiri came to Prashant Nilayam. Now Kalpagiri sat in darshan line in his ochre robe, thinking that Swami is just an ordinary saint like other. Now Baba, the all-knowing Baba, called the sannyasi Kalpagiri in, and as he is the all-knowing one, and nothing can be hidden from him, Swami chided him for running away from the consequences of his deed, which he could never accomplish successfully. Well, while at Shirdi, in the Shirdi Sai Baba avatar, Baba had told Shama once, and I quote, "Death, enmity and murder have to be attained, for there is no escape," unquote. So Swami told Kalpagiri, "Why postpone for another birth the suffering which you must undergo in return for the murder that you committed?" Swami told him that by doing so, he was insulting the ochre robe that he was wearing. So Swami went inside and brought down white clothes for him to wear in place of the ochre ones, which he directed him to take off. He commanded him to go and surrender himself to police. Swami then assured him, "Go, confess, and undergo cheerfully whatever punishment they ultimately give you. You will not be hanged, I promise that. Instead, your neck shall wear a japamala, a rosary, which I shall myself put around your neck when you come to me after the sentence is over." Kalpagiri then emerged from the interview room like a serpent that has thrown off its coil and renewed itself. There was a glint in his eye, a vigor in his voice, a lightness in his gait that were not there that morning. Baba must be the Lord himself, he thought. He decided to obey his command and save himself rather than discarding it and get caught in a net of rebirth. So he confessed to the police and was given death sentence by the judge. But as Swami had promised, his death sentence was cancelled by the President of India and it had become sentence of life imprisonment. During the weeks when the petition for presidential mercy was being considered, Kalpagiri in his cell was telling his neighbors, Chengappa and others, that he had met the incarnation of the Lord at Puttaparthi and that he had assured him that mercy will be shown and that he would get from Baba himself a Japamala when he finished his term and went to him, freed from the recoil of the stab that he had inflicted on the fellow being. Well, the word came true, the petition bore fruit. Now, naturally, the others in the prison were eager to know from him the name and address, the glory and splendor, the wisdom and mercy of Baba. And they wrote to Baba in their own unsophisticated style for his blessings, his pictures and books about him. And out of his perpetual love, Swami sent his blessings by writing a letter. So you see, dear listeners, when this life-giving Satya Sai Ganga wends its way into prison, dead bones become alive, dried plants put forth leaves, sunshine sweeps away sadness. So aren't they blessed whose iniquities are forgotten and to whom the Lord will not impute any sin? Indeed, they are.
Across every state of India, across 125 countries, across political, religious, racial, geographic and linguistic divide, across social and cultural barriers, what compels millions to step forward and reach out to complete strangers in need? Since 1940, when the 14-year-old Satya declared his divine mission, a silent revolution has emerged from a heart that preaches only one language, the language of unconditional love. Through his massive service projects, Bhagwan Baba has redefined spirituality as social activism, responsible charity and conscientious citizenship. Be it a service project in remote Andhra Pradesh or at a slum in Zimbabwe, volunteers from all backgrounds are transforming our world by serving in the name of Sai. Dear listeners, welcome to Radio Sai series, Serving in the Name of Sai. In this program, we bring you reports of the service activities by Sai volunteers across India and the world. Today's segment features a Sai Seva project from the prisons of New Zealand.
Hate the sin, not the sinner, says the Holy Bible. Volunteers of the Sri Satya Sai Organization of Auckland, New Zealand, have been practicing this profound biblical virtue since 2002 by reaching out to the inmates of the local prisons. While prisons and jails with their high walls may seem to be fearsome places, the truth is, people living behind these walls are just like us. God resides in them just as in us.
The Sai workers of Auckland decided to conduct a unique program for the inmates of Mount Eden Remand Prison in the city in 2002. They paid monthly visits to the women's wing of the prison to understand the inmates and their needs better. As the task was new, prison authorities suggested that the volunteers start the sessions for the women inmates only as a pilot program. So, finally, on a Sunday morning in September 2002, the New Zealand Sai volunteers set out on their first visit to the prison. The team was admittedly nervous. On arriving at the location, they felt the palpable tension and negative energy within the prison walls. They began chanting Sai Ram as they were escorted to a special visitor's room to meet the inmates. Soon, to their surprise, all nervousness and concerns vanished. As they chanted the divine name, they felt calmer and could feel Swami's divine presence amidst them. The prison authorities had asked the organization to limit the numbers of volunteers to 4 or 5 to avoid outnumbering the number of prisoners they thought would attend. Imagine their surprise when they entered the room and found 25 inmates eagerly awaiting them. A participating devotee had this to say.
As we entered the room, we could feel the tension, the suspicion, and the aggression, because some of the inmates felt that this would be a place where old scores could be settled. We had the security of prison guards on site just in case. They were kind and they kept discreetly in the background. But mark my words, we were definitely nervous, as there were some tough cookies attending. But we knew we had Swami with us, and we had a good feeling that the program would be successful.
The group began with a prayer sung in the native Maori language. It was a beautiful interfaith prayer which meant, "Let the love, the truth, the peace surround us all." The effect of this was hard to miss. Everyone seemed to have settled down and the energy in the room was transformed. It was now less hostile and less defiant. It also sent out the message to the participants that the Sai volunteers were genuine and were there to help. The Sai workers then introduced themselves, explained what they hoped to achieve and how the program would be structured. They also encouraged the prison inmates to ask any questions they had at any point during the session. Importantly, they explained that they were followers of Sri Sathya Sai Baba, a wonderful spiritual teacher from India whose message of love and tolerance encompasses all religions and races. They informed them that they had small pocket-sized photographs of Baba and some holy ash, the vibhuti, and would gladly give them out if requested.
Next, they asked the inmates to join them in Jyoti meditation, a non-denominational tuning in visualization. Along the way, they carefully explained the process and the benefits gained from doing the meditation. A few minutes into this, the volunteers sensed a definite easing of tension in the room as a soft and gentle stillness took over. A volunteer from the group aptly described the moment.
We knew instantly that Swami was with us and helping us.
This was followed by singing of devotional songs relevant to all faiths in both Maori and English. One of the Sai workers had brought in a guitar. The inmates loved this and began suggesting other songs they could sing. Surprisingly, all the songs they wanted to sing were spiritual as well. Volunteers had also selected one of Swami's quotations and discussed its meaning and significance with the inmates. After this, the session ended with a prayer and a promise to return.
All the volunteers were visibly happy and decided to continue the visits. Now, with permission from the prison authorities, they began to have weekly sessions as more Sai volunteers had registered. And now they could run the program on a roster basis. About a year into the program at the Mount Eden prison, the Sai volunteers received a letter from the authorities of another prison, the Waikeria prison, situated about 250 kilometers south of Auckland. The letter mentioned that the Mount Eden prison authorities had seen a noticeable change in the behavior of the inmates who were attending the sessions. The overall attitudes and aggressive tendencies of the inmates had softened since they began attending the sessions, and the authorities had therefore recommended the program. The Waikeria officials wanted a similar program in their prison as well.
So, a new batch of Sai volunteers from Hamilton Sai Center was trained to conduct the sessions. Today, these volunteers visit the Waikeria prison on a monthly basis and are bringing about a silent transformation among the inmates. Despite the small size of the Sai Center, the volunteers are determined to keep the good work going on a permanent basis.
Coming back to the Auckland prison, soon the authorities asked the organization to expand the program to the men inmates of the prison. A new roster of Sai devotees was thoughtfully selected, as they knew the sessions for the male inmates needed to be different from those for the women. they would now be face to face with some pretty hardened criminals and even some street gang members with long criminal records. Like the first session with the woman inmates, by divine guidance, this session too was successful. For the male prisoners, the volunteers decided to conduct the meditation with a slight change. The prisoners were asked to lie down on their backs in a circle with their feet facing towards the center. This way, the prisoners could not look at each other. It worked extremely well, and all the prisoners who participated felt a deep inner peace once the session was over. After a few more sessions, the prisoners meditated sitting on the chairs, and no problems were ever faced. One of the Sai volunteers from that team testified.
As we prepared to leave, we noticed that some of the inmates were crying softly and knew instantly that the decision to take on this new format was correct. Right then, something very beautiful and profound took place. As one of our devotees put a small photo of Swami away in his pocket, one of the inmates, a heavily tattooed gang member, came up to him and said, "Hey bro, the fella in that picture you have there is not just for you guys. 2 weeks ago, he came into my cell, raised his hands as if he was blessing me, then disappeared. I've not told any of my prison mates as they would think I'm going soft, but it's the truth."
This only confirmed what the volunteers had felt all along, that their dear Lord is always present with them. God is always there with anyone who genuinely wants to help another person. All such experiences have only deepened the faith and resolve of the Sai volunteers of New Zealand to continue the service with more passion and zeal. Baba says, quote, "When faults are found in anyone, you will have to understand that there are deficiencies in their behavior. That is all. Do not conclude that there is no divine Atma in them. As a result of the company they keep or the immorality of the society in which they grew up, flaws have developed in them. These are not native to their nature, which is Atmic. You will have to provide them with good company and beneficial surroundings and persuade them to take part in these. You should on no account condemn such people as born incorrigibles and keep them aloof." Unquote.
The sessions for the male prisoners at Mount Eden Prison were temporarily stopped in late 2008 due to large-scale renovation and modernization of the prison. In December 2010, the prison authorities requested the Sai organization to resume the sessions, and since then, 15 new Sai devotees have volunteered to join. Dear listeners, right at the outset, Bhagwan Baba defined his avataric mission as the protection of the virtuous and correction of the wrongdoers. The only wickedness he ever spoke of destroying is the negativity in the hearts of human beings. The love incarnate's most potent tool for bringing about positive transformation has always been his pure love.
Today, his instruments around the world, from New Zealand to New York, dispenses divine love to those in need, including the prisoners in Auckland. Baba has always prescribed selfless and loving service as the highest form of spiritual practice. Today's story on the prison seva in New Zealand is just one of many service projects that his devotees around the world are engaged in. For them, serving in the name of Sai is the ultimate privilege in life. Dear listeners, you just heard another episode of Serving in the Name of Sai. Stories of Sai Seva from across India and around the world. You can read up on today's feature and see pictures of this and other Sai Seva accounts on our website radiosai.org. Thank you for joining us today, and please do send us your feedback on this program. As always, you can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. Sai Ram from Prashanti Nilayam.
मधुसूदना हे मुरलीधरा
Oh,
Govinda Gopala Narayana Hari
Govinda Gopala Narayana Hari
Govinda Gopala Narayana Hari
Govinda Gopala Narayana Hari
Narayana Hari Jai Jai Narayana Hari
चरण सुखदाई भजो रे
राम 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 चरण सुखदाई भजो रे
सदाई भजो रे राम नाम के दो अक्षर शांति समाई रे
सब सुख शांति समाई रे
सब सुख शांति समाई रे साईनाथ के चरणों में आकर साईनाथ के चरणों में आकर
साईनाथ के चरणों में आकर
जीवन सफल बनाओ बनाओ रे राम चरण सुखदाई भजो रे राम चरण सुखदाई भजो रे चरण सुखदाई भजो रे राम नाम के दो अक्षर
में
सब सुख शांति समाई रे साईनाथ के चरणों में आकर जीवन सफल बनाओ रे जीवन सफल बनाओ रे राम चरण सुखदाई भजो रे।